Kjære Jesus, vi bare takker deg igjen for denne kvelden her, da. Enda en mulighet, Jesus, i dag også til å prise deg og tilbe deg og få være med deg. Jesus, du ser tingene som skal tas opp i dag, Herre Jesus, da. Er det noe som må fylle tålen med din hellige ånd, og han taler ditt sanne og rette og reine ord, Herre, til oppbyggelse, til utfordring, til trøst og formaning, Herre Jesus. Herre, denne kvelden her tilhører deg, og vi har lyst og vil så gjerne bare bli mer kjent enn deg, Herre. Og vi vet at først og fremst så blir vi det gjennom ditt ord, når ditt ord blir forkynt rett og rent, Herre. Herre Jesus, må du røre ved hver og en av oss. Herre, må du forandre oss litt i kveld, så vi blir mer lik deg, Herre. Ære være ditt hellige navn, Jesus, for du er vår Gud. Herre Jesus, du er vår konge og vår frelser. Du er begynnelsen, du er slutten. Du er skaper av himmel og jord. Du er den store og mektige Gud. Og så er du vår venn, og den som lever sammen med oss i det daglige, gjennom den hellige ånd. Herre Jesus, velsign denne stunden, i ditt hellige navn.
Amen.
Okay, well, we are going to pick up where we left off last night again. I apologize for being late.
Okay, vi skal fortsette.
Oh, sure.
Yeah,
sorry.
Vi skal fortsette der som vi slapp i går, og for å være til å si.
I'll share with you the story if you haven't heard already.
Du skal høre historien hvis du ikke har hørt allerede.
We got all the way here from Bjørn's house.
Vi kom helt inn, sett og kjørt fra Bjørn's hus.
And I discovered that I did not have my recorder.
Og jeg merket at jeg ikke hadde opptakeren min.
So we decided to go back to Bjørn's house to look for it. But before we left, I looked on the ground around Egil's car.
Men før vi kjørte, så kikket jeg rundt på bakken rundt Egil sin bil.
I looked in the back seat of Egil's car.
Og kikket jeg bakseten på Egil sin bil.
The only thing I didn't do was search Shane to see if he stole it. So we made the drive back to Bjorn's house. And with the help of Bjorn and Greta, we searched for my tape recorder.
So
to no avail. Yeah. So we walked back out to Egil's car. I looked around on the ground outside of Bjorn's house for the third or fourth time. No recorder. So we drive back up here. I'm pouting in the back seat.
Pouting. Oh, yeah, I was telling a surmurali.
And so we arrive and I get out of the car. And I look on the ground. And there's my recorder. And it's got a couple of dents now. But for the street preacher, that adds character. And so it reminded me of the parable of the lost coin and the lost sheep. How the woman rejoiced at finding her lost coin. And how the shepherd rejoiced over finding one lost sheep and leaving the 99. Finding my recorder is not that spiritual. But that's my story and I'm sticking to it. Last night we started looking at the characteristics of a biblical church. And we were able to get through three of the nine characteristics I wanted to look at. We looked at the mission of the church, which is to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world and to build his church. And then we looked at the leadership structure in the church. We saw that God has ordained for only men to serve as pastors and elders. And that men and women can serve as deacons. And while women have a different role in the church,
selv om kvinner har en annen rolle I menigheten,
they are no less important to the church than the men.
Så ikke noe mindre viktig I menigheten enn menn.
And the church would be stronger today
menigheten ville vært sterkere I dag,
if men acted like men.
Hvis menn var slik som menn skal være,
and led not only the church,
og ikke ledet bare kirken,
but their homes.
Men også hjemmene sine.
For the Christian man, his first ministry,
for en kristen manns første det viktigste sted han tjener,
if he's married,
hvis han gift,
is his wife and his children, if he has children.
Ja, kone og barn.
That's a more important ministry to the man than serving in the church or serving on the streets as an evangelist.
Og det faktisk en viktigere tjeneste hjemme enn å tjene I en menighet eller på gatene.
And then the third one we looked at was the body life of the church.
Og det tredje vi så på var livet til menigheten.
And one of the passages we looked at is the one that Bjorn read for us again tonight.
Ja, en av de passasjene I Kristuskriften som vi så på var Apostlagene 2, vers 41-47.
And we also talked about how important it is for there to be unity in the body.
Og vi snakket også om viktigheten av at det enhet I menigheten.
And two sins that will kill a church.
Og to synder som vi snakket om som vil ødelegge menigheten
are selfishness and gossip.
Egoisme og baksnakking.
Okay. So that brings us to number four.
Og da kommer vi da til punkt nummer fire.
And that is discipline within the church.
Det disiplin innad I kirken.
We're going to look at one of the first acts of discipline in the church.
Vi skal se på en av de første tilfellene av menighetsdisiplin.
And probably the most frightening.
Og den mest skremmende antageligvis.
And that is in Acts chapter 5.
Apostlagene kapittel 5.
Verses 1 through 11.
Vers 1 til 11.
But a man named Ananias, with his wife Sapphira, sold a piece of property, and with his wife's knowledge, he kept back for himself some of the proceeds, and brought only a part of it, and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit, and to keep back for yourself part of the proceeds of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not at your disposal? Why is it that you have contrived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. When Ananias heard these words, he fell down and breathed his last. And great fear came upon all who heard of it. The young man rose and wrapped him up and carried him out and buried him. After an interval of about 3 hours, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter said to her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yes, for so much. But Peter said to her, how is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out. Immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. When the young men came in, they found her dead, and they carried her out and buried her beside her husband. And great fear came upon the whole church and upon all who heard of these things. A very frightening scene for the early church. Again, we saw in Acts chapter
2,
starting with Barnabas, known as the son of encouragement.
Som var kjent som oppmuntringens sønn.
He was obviously a man of means because he had property that he could sell.
Ja, han hadde en del eiendom og penger siden han hadde eiendom han kunne selge.
And he sold the land and he brought all of the proceeds to lay at the apostles' feet.
Ja, han solgte eiendommen sin og han tok med all fortjenesten og ga det til apostlene.
He wasn't worshiping the apostles.
Han var ikke apostlene.
He was simply bringing the proceeds to the apostles so that they could be distributed to others who may have need.
Ja, han bringer rett og slett pengene til apostlene slik at det kunne gis ut til de som trengte det.
Part of having all things in common.
Dette var en del av det å ha allting felles.
Is that the members of the church shared whatever they could so that no one would be without.
Ja, noe av dette med å ha alt felles, det handler om at medlemmene I menigheten, de delte alt mellom seg, sånn at ingen skulle mangle noe å ha det de trengte.
To the extent that they were able to do it.
Ja, så lenge de kunne klare det å gjøre det.
And so, what was the sin of Ananias and Sapphira? What was their sin?
Så hva var Ananias og Sapphira sin synd?
They don't tell the truth.
Right. It's that they did not tell the truth. The sin was not that they didn't give all of the money. The sin was that they lied about how much they received for the property.
Ja, synden var ikke at de ikke ga alle pengene, men synden var at de ljugde om hvor mye de hadde fått for dem.
They wanted to look good by giving people the impression that they gave all of the money to the church.
De ville virke gode og flinke ved å late som at de ga alle pengene.
But they were greedy and selfish and kept some of it back for themselves.
De var egoistiske og spilte ikke med åpne kort fordi at de hadde gjemt penger til side.
And so even what they gave was not given in faith.
Var ikke gitt I tro.
And at the end of Romans 14 it says whatever is not done in faith is sin.
Og til slutten av Romerne 14 så står det at det som ikke gjort I tro sin.
Now when was the last time you saw a Christian executed by an elder for lying?
Når den siste gangen du så at en kristen ble henrettet av en eldste for at han ljugde?
It probably wouldn't go over well today.
Jeg tror det ville fungert godt I dag.
Probably wouldn't fit in any seeker model.
Vi I hvert fall ikke fungert I en seeker sensitive model.
Ja,
seeker sensitive. Signative, det disse store megakirkene, som for eksempel Willow Creek, Bill Hybers, Rick Warren, det sånn på en måte, og det de gjør at de gjør alt de kan for å prøve på alle som sier det, ikke kristne også, og så forteller det egentlig ikke hva Guds ord egentlig sier. Ja.
Now, the Bible doesn't tell us why the punishment was so harsh.
Bibelen sier ikke om hvorfor straffen var så hard.
So we can only speculate.
Så det kan vi bare spekulere.
But and as I was thinking about this passage, I wondered if it had something to do with the church being so young and growing so fast.
Så jeg lurte på om det kunne ha noe med at menigheten var så ung og siden den vokste så fort.
That to avoid chaos among all of these new believers.
For å unngå kaos med alle disse nye troende.
That discipline and rules of conduct had to be established very quickly.
Så måtte regler og måter å gjøre ting på bli etablert veldig raskt.
So the way God allowed Peter to do this.
Så måten Gud brukte Peter til å gjøre dette på.
Didn't require a 12-week Bible study on why it's wrong to lie.
Krevde en 12-ukers bibelstudie på hvorfor det galt å ljuge.
Yeah. Now, many Christians and unbelievers.
Mange kristne og ikke troende.
Or should I say, professing Christians?
Eller skal jeg si, men som sier at jeg kristne.
Would look at this and say, God was too harsh.
Vil se på den teksten der, så vil jeg si at Gud var alt for hard her.
So let's. The reason for that is people look at this through the lens of human understanding.
Og grunnen til at folk sier det at de ser på den teksten på en måte gjennom menneskers syn og menneskelinse.
And it's easier to see sin as a small thing that way.
Og på den måten så det enklere å se på synd som en mindre ting.
But we should see this from the perspective of a perfect and holy God.
Men vi må prøve å se dette I perspektiv fra en hellig og perfekt Gud som sier det.
Many people, and I'm sure many in some churches in my country and some churches in yours.
Mange mennesker, blant annet noen I våre menigheter I USA, og noen sikkert også her I Norge.
Would say that God is too harsh for sending someone to hell for lying.
Noen vil sikkert si at Gud alt for hard fordi at han sender faktisk mennesker I fortapelse og helvete fordi at de ljuger.
So let me illustrate why they're wrong.
Så la meg illustrere hvorfor de tar feil.
If I were to lie to Tala, It would be wrong.
Så vil det være feil.
But Tallak's not going to punish me.
Men Tallak kommer ikke til å straffe Tony.
He's young enough to be my son.
Han ung nok til å være min sønn.
And I'm going to back to America in 2 days.
Og jeg skal hjem til USA om 2 dager.
If I go home to America,
hvis jeg reiser hjem til USA,
and I lie to my wife,
og jeg ljuger til kona mi,
I might end up sleeping on the couch.
Så kan det nok være at jeg må sove på sofaen.
If I go to work and lie to my boss,
hvis jeg går på jobben og ljuger til min sjef,
I can lose my job.
Så kan jeg miste jobben.
If I lie on an exam in school,
hvis jeg lyver på en prøve eller på eksamen på skolen,
I can be expelled from school.
Så kan jeg bli utvist fra skolen.
If I stand before a judge in a courtroom,
hvis jeg står foran en dommer i en rettssal,
I can go to prison.
Så kan jeg havne i fengsel.
What has changed?
Hva det som forandret seg?
The offense hasn't changed.
Det jeg faktisk gjorde har ikke forandret seg.
What's changed is who the offense is against.
Det som har forandret seg hvem det jeg faktisk gjorde til.
If the king of Norway was walking through Vigrestad,
hvis kongen I Norge gikk gjennom Vigrestad,
and I jumped out of the line of screaming, waving, applauding people,
hvis jeg hoppet ut av folkemengden som skriker og roper,
and I punched the king in the nose, I have no plans to do that. I have no plans to do that. Would the punishment be worse for me?
Vil det da straffe være verre for meg?
Then punching Shane in the nose.
Enn hvis jeg slår Shane på nesa.
Shane is likely.
Shane vil mest sannsynlig.
To forgive me quicker.
Tilgi meg raskere.
And while he may punch me in the nose back.
Jeg kan godt se at han slår meg på nesa tilbake.
The punishment will not be as severe.
Så vil ikke straffen ikke bli så hard.
As if I were to punch the king in the nose.
Som hvis jeg hadde slått kongen på nesa.
I could lose my life doing that.
Jeg kan miste livet ved å gjøre det.
It's still just a punch in the nose.
Det fortsatt bare et slag på nesa.
What's different is who I punched.
Det som forskjellen på hvem jeg slo.
God is infinitely holy and righteous and just.
Gud uendelig hellig og rettferdig.
Every sin, therefore, every sin against God,
derfor så hver eneste synd mot Gud,
is infinitely sinful.
Uendelig sinnfull.
No matter how small we make it in our mind.
Uansett hvor liten vi gjør den i våre liv eller i våre hjerter.
That's why God is good and just when He says.
Det derfor Gud faktisk god og rettferdig når Han sier.
All liars will have their part in the lake of fire.
At alle løgnere vil være en del av ildsjøen.
So in this very graphic story,
so i denne her i denne historien,
we see the importance of discipline in the church.
Så ser vi viktigheten av disiplin i menigheten.
But today very few churches practice church discipline.
I dag er det veldig få menigheter som praktiserer menighetsdisiplin.
And before I explain why, let's look at what church discipline is.
Og før jeg forklarer hvorfor, så la oss se på hva menighetsdisiplin for noe.
And we will find that in Matthew chapter 18.
Vi kan se først i Matteus 18.
Beginning in verse 15.
Matteus 18 fra vers 15.
15 to 17.
Fra vers 15 til 17.
Matteus 18.
Ja, Matteus 18 fra vers 15 til 17.
If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. But if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Okay, let me set the scene.
La meg sette det på en måte 5.
You have a member of the church.
Det var medlem I menigheten.
Someone who professes to have repented of their sin and put their trust in Christ.
En som sier at han har omvendt seg fra sin synd og lagt all sin tillit til Jesus.
Someone who has made a profession of faith in Christ.
En som bekjenner at Jesus Kristus Herre.
And this brother has sinned.
Og denne kristne, han broren har syndet.
And you don't.
Og det vet jeg.
And that sin may have been, or even likely have been, against you.
Og den synden kan, ja, var for eksempel mot deg.
So you go to that person.
Så går du til den personen.
In private.
I privat.
And you explain to them their sin.
Og du forklarer da til dem den synden som de har gjort.
If the person confesses of that sin and repents, turns away from it.
Hvis personen da innrømmer den synden og omvender seg, snur seg fra den synden.
The matter is over.
Så det saken ut av verden.
It's not to be remembered.
Skal ikke den saken huskes
med. Not to be talked about.
Skal ikke snakkes om.
And it's not to be brought up later.
Skal heller ikke tas opp igjen senere.
It's done.
Den ferdig.
If that person refuses to repent.
Hvis den personen da som har syndet mot deg ikke omvender seg.
Then you are to bring one or two other brothers or sisters in Christ.
Så skal du ta med en eller to andre kristne.
And confront that person again.
Og konfrontere den personen en gang til.
And again, the goal is the same.
Og igjen, målet det samme.
That the brother or sister will repent of that sin.
At broderen eller da søstra skal omvende seg for den synden.
If they still refuse.
Hvis de fortsatt så nekter.
Now you bring it to the elders of the church.
Da tar du det til eldsterådet I menigheten.
The elders will then confront the person about their sin.
Så tar, og da skal eldsterådet konfrontere den personen om synden.
And if they repent.
Og hvis de omvender seg.
It's over.
Så det ferdig.
But if they do not repent at this point.
Men hvis de ikke omvender seg her.
The person is to be brought before the church.
Så skal personen bringes fram for hele menigheten.
And publicly removed from fellowship.
Og offentlig blir fjernet fra fellesskapet.
And those in the church are to see that person.
Og menigheten skal se på den personen.
Or consider that person.
Eller anse den personen.
An unbeliever.
Som en ikke kristen.
Because genuine followers of Christ.
Fordi at etterfølgere av Jesus
will repent of their sin.
Vil omvende seg fra sin sin.
Because their desire is to please Christ.
Fordi at ønsket deres å tjene Jesus.
And to love their brother as themselves.
Og elsker sine søsken som seg selv. Eller elsker sin neste som seg selv.
The goal of this
poenget med dette
is not just to kick people out of the church.
Det handler ikke om å sparke folk ut av menighet.
The goal is the opposite.
Målet altså hovedpoenget det motsatte.
The goal is to see this person come to repentance and be restored to fellowship.
Målet med menighetsdisciplin å få personen til å omvende seg og komme inn I fellesskapet igjen og være en del av menigheten.
They don't have to take tests.
Trenger ikke å ta tester.
They don't have to pay fines.
Trenger ikke å betale bøter.
They don't have to do good works.
Trenger ikke gjøre gode gjerninger.
To get back in.
For å komme inn I menigheten, ja.
They simply have to repent and believe the gospel.
De trenger bare omvende seg og tro på evangeliet.
Many churches, however, in my country, and from what I've heard in yours as well.
Mange kirker I mitt land, og også som jeg har hørt, også I vårt land.
Does not practice church discipline.
Praktiserer ikke kirkedisiplin.
And people are rarely, if ever,
om mennesker veldig sjelden,
confronted about their sin.
Konfrontert med sin sin.
And what that does to the church,
og det som det gjør med menigheten,
is that it makes the church a place of sin.
Og det gjør menigheten ofte til et sted der det mye synd.
Instead of a place of righteousness.
I stedet for et sted der det skal være rettferdighet.
And it taints, it affects the purity of the church.
Og det gjør noe med renheten og helligheten I menigheten.
When church discipline happens,
når kirkemenighetstukt eller menighetsdisiplin praktiseres,
it usually has to be a great scandal.
Så må det ofte være en stor skandale.
Adultery.
Utroskap.
Committing criminal acts.
Ja, kriminelle handlinger.
Divorce without a biblical reason.
Ja, skilsmisse uten en bibelsk begrunnelse.
And things like that.
Sånne ting.
I have yet to see anyone disciplined for lying.
Jeg har aldri sett noen blitt at noen har praktisert menighetsdisiplin på grunn av løgn.
I have yet to see anyone disciplined for gluttony.
Jeg har heller ikke sett noen bli utøver menighetsdisiplin på
gluttony, picking out, being addicted to food, seeing food as an idol.
Okay, på avguder.
Yeah.
For eksempel mat, ja.
And I've yet to see someone disciplined for gossip.
Jeg har heller ikke sett noen praktisere menighetsflukt for noen som baksnakker.
This is not to say it doesn't happen.
Det betyr ikke at det aldri skjer.
Because there are many good churches that practice biblical church discipline.
Det finnes mange menigheter også her og der som praktiserer menighetsdisiplin.
But sadly, it's extremely rare.
Dessverre så men dessverre det veldig sjelden.
And because church discipline isn't practiced,
og fordi at kirkedisiplin ikke blir praktisert,
it opens the door not only for sinful behavior,
så åpner ikke døra bare for syndfull oppførsel,
but it also opens the door for other things like false teaching.
Men det åpner også døra for andre ting, som for eksempel falsk lære.
And that is in part one of the reasons why we see signs and wonders movements and prosperity gospels and other false gospels in the church.
Og det en av grunnene til at vi blant annet ser tegn og under bevegelsen og andre falske evangelier og lærer som blir lært rundt i menigheter.
Because if you don't see the small things as sin,
hvis du ikke ser på de små tingene som sin,
then it's very easy to let the bigger things go.
Og da det også vanskelig å la de lettere å la de store tingene gå.
And another reason why church discipline isn't practiced,
en annen grunn også til at menighetsdisiplin ikke blir praktisert,
is because many church leaders lack a spine.
Og fordi at mange menighetsledere mangler ryggrad og ikke tøffe nok.
They are afraid of losing their position.
Redd for å miste sin posisjon.
They are afraid of losing their popularity.
Redd for å miste sin popularitet.
And they are afraid of dealing with the messy discomfort of holding people accountable.
Ja, de redd for å måtte stå i vanskelige situasjoner ved å holde mennesker ansvarlig.
And so then you have misbehaving sheep.
Så da har du altså kristne som oppfører seg dårlig.
Ruling the shepherd.
Som styrer hyrden.
Instead of shepherds loving the sheep.
I stedet for hyrden som elsker fårene.
And so churches that don't practice church discipline.
Så menigheter og kirker som ikke praktiserer menighetsdisiplin.
I think are much less blessed by God than those who do. One more passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 5.
En passage til, 1 Corinthians chapter 5.
Verses 1 to 4.
Vers 1 to 4.
In fact, we're going to read the whole chapter.
I think it will be a bit.
Beginning in verse 1, it is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and of a kind that is not tolerated even among pagans, for a man has his father's wife. And you are arrogant. Ought you not rather to mourn? Let him who has done this be removed from among you. For though absent in the body, I am present in spirit. And as if present, I have already pronounced judgment on the one who did such a thing. When you are assembled in the name of the Lord Jesus, and my spirit is present with the power of our Lord Jesus, you are to deliver this man to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, so that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord. Your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Cleanse out the old leaven that you may be a new lump, as you really are unleavened, for Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Let us therefore celebrate the festival, not with the old leaven, the leaven of malice and evil, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I wrote to you in my letter not to associate with sexually immoral people, not at all meaning the sexually immoral of this world, or the greedy and swindlers or idolaters, since then you would need to go out of the world. But now I am writing to you not to associate with anyone who bears the name of brother, if he is guilty of sexual immorality or greed, or is an idolater, reveler, drunkard, or swindler, not even to eat with such a one. For what have I to do with judging outsiders? Is it not those inside the church whom you are to judge? God judges those outside. Purge the evil person from among you. Very stern words. The church in Corinth was a mess.
Altså, dette sterke ord, men menigheten i Korinth var helt totalt kaos.
The most disgusting of practices were happening among people in the church.
De verste tingene som kan skje, skjedde mellom medlemmene i Korinth.
And the leaders of the church were doing nothing about it.
Og lederne i menigheten gjorde ingenting med det.
Paul makes it very clear that if someone who calls themselves a brother or sister in Christ sins and refuses to repent, they are to be treated like an outsider. Our judgment of our brothers and sisters in Christ should be more severe than our judgment of unbelievers.
Skal vi være mer nøye med og strengere med enn å dømme de som ikke kristne?
Because unbelievers are acting according to their nature.
Fordi at ikke troende, altså de oppfører seg bare slik som naturen deres tilsier.
While they're responsible for their sin,
de ansvarlige for sin synd.
They can't do anything but sin.
Men de kan ikke gjøre noe annet enn å synde.
The believer, on the other hand, is a new creature.
Men den troende en ny skapning.
And should not be a slave to sin.
Og skal ikke være en slave av synd.
But a slave to Christ.
En slave av Jesus.
And this is the kind of discipline the church today should be practicing.
Dette en sånn type disiplin av menneskets som skal praktiseres også i dag.
The church should be demanding that Christians live godly lives.
Menigheten skal formane de kristne til å leve guddommelige liv.
Not expecting perfection.
Og handler ikke om å være perfekt.
Because no one is able of that standard.
For ingen tør å være perfekt.
But we should be living lives as those who have been saved by Jesus Christ.
Men vi skal leve liv slik som de som har blitt frelst av Jesus.
And anyone who refuses to live that way,
og de som nekter for å leve sånn,
should not be considered a brother or sister in Christ.
Må ikke bli ansett som en kristen.
That's different than a brother or sister who is struggling with sin.
Og det annerledes enn en kristen som sliter med synd.
Many Christians are at war with their sin.
Mange kristne ikke i konstant krig med sin synd.
And some battles are tougher to fight than others.
Og noen slag tøffere enn andre.
But the desire of their heart,
men altså hungeren i hjertet,
is to be victorious over that sin.
Å vinne over den synden.
For the glory of Christ.
For ære Jesus.
The people we're talking about here,
de menneskene vi snakker om her,
are people who have no desire to repent.
Her denne passasjen her, så snakkes det om mennesker som ikke har noe lyst til å omvende seg.
Who have no desire to glorify Christ.
Som ikke noe ønske om å ære Jesus.
Who only want to justify their sin.
Som bare vil rettferdiggjøre sin synd.
And continue in that sin.
Og fortsette den synden.
People who think and live that way,
mennesker som tenker og lever sånn,
should not be considered a brother or sister in Christ.
Skal ikke bli ansett som kristne.
Many people would like to turn to Matthew 7:1.
Mange vil slå opp i Matteus 7:1.
A very popular verse.
Et veldig populært vers.
Especially with unbelievers.
Spesielt for ikke-troende.
And secret churches.
Og secret-sensitive gjengen.
And it says simply this.
Det sier rett og slett dette.
Judge not that you be not judged.
Døm ikke, så du ikke skal bli dømt.
Many Christians, if they are confronted about their sin,
mange kristne, hvis de blir konfrontert med synd,
they will say, judge not, lest you be judged.
Døm ikke, så du ikke skal bli dømt, svarer de.
Take the log out of your eye.
Ta bjelken ut av ditt eget øye.
Before you try to take the splinter out of my eye.
Før du prøver å flise ut av mitt øye.
But what Jesus is talking about in Matthew 7,
men det som Jesus snakker om i Matteus 7,
is a condemning judgment that that ascribes someone to hell.
Den fördömelsen som det snakkar om här I kapitel 7, det är en sån fördömelse som handlar om helvete.
That kind of final judgment.
En sån ändlig dom.
Is reserved only for God.
Är det bara Gud som ska ta?
For there is only one lawgiver and judge.
There
is only one who is able to save or destroy.
So
who are you to judge your neighbor? And I believe that is James
4:12.
But yet the Bible tells the Christian that we are to judge with right judgment.
Men vi skal dømme med en rett type av dømmelokk. Kan jeg si sånn?
Sure.
Ja, det blir altså forskjell, for vi har et veldig godt uttrykk på norsk. Vi skal ikke... Vi kristne skal ikke fordømme, men vi skal bedømme. Det veldig viktig forskjell. Vi skal bedømme hverandre I kjærlighet, for at man ikke skal få det vil, men vi skal ikke fordømme noen. So we have two very good words in Norwegian for that, which explains it, the two different ways of judging.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
So ikke fordømme, men bedømme.
Yes. Ikke fordømme, for at de fordømme, det handler om at da dømmer du på en måte for den siste dommen, altså en bedømme. Det handler om bedømme kan gjøre hvordan en person lever livet sitt for å hjelpe den, ikke sant, på rett vei, eller hvordan han snakker, eller hva fokus Yeah.
For mind and shame edification, what's the difference between those two words?
Yeah, that's very difficult. It's not so easy to explain, because in your language it would be, judgment, but it's two different words. One of the words means that you will not judge like the final judgment, like to hell, like you said, for example. But the other one is also in a way called a type of judgment, mm-hmm. which in love we can look at each other's life and help each other. You know,
accountability.
To be responsible to each other.
Right.
Yeah. But in a way it's two different words, which means two different things there.
Right. Mm. The kind of judgment we shouldn't pass on people.
Ja, den dom som ikke skal gi til folk.
Is the kind of judgment that makes us the authority.
Det en dom som en bedømmelse som gjør at som vi gjør oss selv til autoriteten.
About whether or not a person goes to heaven or hell, an individual.
Ja, om da mennesker går til fortapelse eller himmel.
But we judge all the time.
Men vi dømmer hele tiden.
We judge right from wrong all the time.
Vi dømmer rett fra galt hele
tiden. We discipline our children.
Vi disiplinerer barna våre.
We discipline our employees if we have employees.
Vi disiplinerer våre ansatte hvis vi har ansatte.
Friendships are often based in part on behavior.
Vennskap laget av oppførsel.
And there are consequences for sin.
Det konsekvenser for sin.
Not only before God.
Ikke bare for Gud.
But before people as well.
Men for mennesker også.
A person who robs a bank.
En menneske som raner en bank.
And goes to prison.
Og går til fengsel.
And comes to faith in Christ while in prison.
Og kommer til tro mens han fengsel.
Is it going to be let go simply because they came to faith in Christ?
Blir ikke kommer slipper ikke ut bare for at de blir kristen.
They're going to continue to suffer the consequences for their crime.
De vil fortsette å lide og få bli sone konsekvensene av den straffen for det.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. All right, so that's what discipline looks like in a church. And again, I want to emphasize that this is necessary for a biblical church. And the goal is not chasing people away. The goal is to see people repent. Be reconciled to Christ.
Bli gjenforent med Kristus.
And be reconciled to the church family.
Og bli gjenforent med menigheten.
So discipline is a loving thing to do.
Ja, så menighetsdisiplin noe veldig kjærlig faktisk å gjøre.
Just as we're told in Hebrews 12.
Akkurat som vi blir bedt om å gjøre I Hebreerne 12.
That a good father disciplines his children.
En god far han disiplinerer barna sine.
So no father of the church.
Så ingen far da, altså den eldste.
A pastor or an elder.
Ja, pastor eller eldste.
Is being a good leader.
En god leder.
If he does not lovingly discipline the people who he is called to care for.
Hvis han ikke I kjærlighet disiplinerer de som han kalt til å lede.
Okay. We're going to try to move a little quicker through the next few. We'll see how that works out.
We'll see. That will be exciting. So we'll see how that goes.
The next one is supporting missionaries.
Det neste bidra til misjonærer.
And we're only going to look at one passage.
Da skal vi bare se på en.
And that is in Philippians chapter 4.
Det Filipperne kapittel 4.
And we'll be looking at verses 10 to 20.
Og vi skal se på vers 10 til 20 I kapittel 4. 10 to 20.
God's word tells us this. I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking about being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound in any and every circumstance. I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Yet it was kind of you to share my trouble. And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you alone. Even at Thessalonica you sent me help for my needs once and again. Now, not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will supply every need of yours according to the riches in glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Paul took at least 3 missionary journeys that we know of.
Paulus tok I hvert fall 3 missionsreiser som vi vet om.
Covering years of his life.
Som tok mange år I hans liv.
And while Paul did work,
og mens Paulus arbeidet,
we see that he was a tent maker by trade.
Vi vet at han var en teltmaker.
He counted on the giving and support of churches while he was on his journey.
Så regnet han med å få bidrag fra menigheter som hjalp ham mens han var ute og reiste.
Not only the churches he was building or visiting.
Ikke bare de menigheter som han var med og bygde og besøkte.
But churches he had left to continue to work.
Men også menigheter som han hadde dratt seg fra og for å fortsette å arbeide andre steder.
A biblical church is one that will support missionaries.
En bibelsk menighet en som vil bidra til misjonærer.
Now there are differing opinions as to what a missionary is.
Det forskjellige meninger på hva en misjonær
If we follow the model we see in Scripture,
hvis vi følger den modellen som vi ser I Skriften,
a missionary, a true missionary, is one who preaches the gospel.
Så en ekte misjonær en som forkynner evangeliet.
And assists in the building of God's church.
Og som assisterer I å bygge Guds kirke.
Not with hammer and nails.
Ikke med hammer og spiker.
But with the conversion of souls.
Men med å være med å lede mennesker til Jesus.
And the development of godly leadership for those churches.
Og være med å utruste menigheter I åndelig lederskap.
We see more than once in the scriptures.
Vi ser flere enn en gang I Bibelen.
Paul going to an area.
Og Paulus drar til et område.
Preaching the gospel.
Forkynner evangeliet.
People coming to faith.
Mennesker kommer til tro.
And him appointing elders for that church.
Og Paulus utpeker eldste til den menigheten.
And Paul spent sometimes months, sometimes years in the development of those churches. many people think that I want to be careful how I say this. It is good to go to a foreign country to serve the poor.
Det veldig bra å reise til et annet land og bidra hos de fattige.
Christians should do that.
Kristne burde gjøre det.
It is good to help people in your own community.
Det bra å hjelpe mennesker I sin egen, sitt eget område.
It's wonderful to go and provide medical care in disasters or in third world countries.
Det veldig fint å, veldig bra å bidra med medisinsk arbeid I ulykker og andre land.
Christians established the first schools.
Kristne var de som etablerte de første skolene.
Christians established the first hospitals.
Kristne etablerte de første sykehusene.
Christians established the first orphanages.
Kristne var de som skapte de første barnehjemmene.
So serving others is biblical and part of the history of the church.
Så å tjene andre bibelsk og en del av den kristne historien.
But without the gospel, it is not missionary work.
Men uten evangeliet så det ikke misjonalt arbeid.
Those things are wonderful ways to serve others.
De tingene vi snakker om flotte måter å tjene andre på.
And we most certainly should be doing that.
Og vi skal gjøre det.
But we must be bringing people to the gospel. We must be bringing people the gospel.
Men vi må gi mennesker evangeliet.
If it is truly to be considered missionary work.
Så hvis det skal være ekte misjonalt arbeid, så skal evangeliet gis.
We do not get to change the definition of a missionary.
Vi kan ikke forandre definisjonen på missionær.
We must go by what the Bible tells us and shows us about missionary work.
Ja, vi må gjøre det Bibelen viser oss. Om det
personlighet. And it always is about furthering the gospel mm-hmm. and building Christ's church.
Og det handler alltid om å gi evangeliet videre og være med å bygge Guds menighet.
So a biblical church,
så en bibelsk kirke,
to the extent that they are able,
så langt de lar seg gjøre,
will support missionary work.
Vil støtte misjonalt arbeid.
Whether it's in Vigrestad,
om du så på Vigrestad,
Stavanger, Northern Norway,
Nord-Norge,
or other parts of the world.
Eller andre deler av verden.
A biblical church will also be a church that sends missionaries.
En bibelsk menighet vil også være noen som sender sender misjonærer.
Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8.
Andre Korinterbrev kapittel 8.
And we're going to look at verses 16 to 24.
Vi skal se på versene 16 til 24.
And again, this is Paul writing.
Dette igjen Paulus som skriver.
But thanks be to God, who put into the heart of Titus the same earnest care I have for you. For he not only accepted our appeal, but being himself very earnest, he is going to you of his own accord. With him we are sending the brother who is famous among all the churches for his preaching of the gospel. Not only that, but he has been appointed by the churches to travel with us as we carry out this act of grace that is being ministered by us for the glory of the Lord himself and to show our goodwill. We take this course so that no one should blame us about this generous gift that is being administered by us. For we aim at what is honorable, not only in the Lord's sight, but also in the sight of man. And with them we are sending our brother, whom we have often tested and found earnest in many matters, but who is now more earnest than ever because of his great confidence in you. As for Titus, he is my partner and fellow worker for your benefit. And as for our brothers, they are messengers of the churches, the glory of Christ. So give proof before the churches of your love and of our boasting about you to these men. Now remember last time we were talking about apostles.
You see, go back, talk about apostles.
That word messengers in verse 23 comes from the Greek word that we get the word apostle.
Kommer fra det greske ordet der vi får ordet apostel.
So in that sense, any Christian carrying the message of the gospel.
Så på den måten så kan man si at alle kristne som ja kommer med evangeliet
is an apostle.
En apostel.
But not one who has the office of an apostle.
Men ikke en som på en måte har apostelautoritet slik som de 12 apostlene.
And again, the only apostles are those who saw the resurrected Christ.
Og de, ja, altså, og, som vi så inne på I går, de ekte apostlene, altså de
Altså de 12 kriterier for dem var å ha sett den oppstandende Jesus med sine egne øyne.
And was personally commissioned by Jesus to serve in that office.
Og var personlig kalt og utsendt av Jesus for å tjene I den tjenesten.
Any person today who claims to have the office of the apostle.
Hvis noen sier at jeg den type apostel I dag,
is either lying,
enten jubelig,
or delusional.
Eller så jeg galt.
Okay. Oh. Yeah. Was that a little too straight?
Oh, I said maybe crazy.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah.
Delusional?
Yeah. Okay, so Titus and these two other brothers were sent by Paul.
So Titus and these two other brothers were sent by Paulus
to Corinth.
Til Corinth.
They were there to further the gospel.
De var der for å fremme evangeliet.
And to minister to the people's needs.
Og for å, ja, være med å hjelpe mennesker med sine behov.
And to report back to Paul.
Og for å rapportere da tilbake til Paulus.
And so biblical churches are churches that send missionaries out.
Bibelske menigheter menigheter som sender ut misjonærer.
And again, you don't have to go to a foreign country to be a sent missionary.
Du trenger ikke reise til andre land for å være en utsendt misjonær.
Many churches believe that missionaries should only be sent to those places that have never heard the gospel.
Mange tror at misjonærer må sendes bare til steder der ikke evangeliet har blitt forkynt før.
I think missionaries should be sent.
Jeg synes misjonærer skal sendes.
To every place there is a lost person.
Til alle steder der det et fortapt menneske.
That means every community of every country in the world.
Og det betyr alle land og alle verdensdeler I verden.
Whether there are a lot of Christian churches in the community or not.
Selv om det mange kristne menigheter I landet eller ikke.
Because the American church in America.
For kirken I Amerika.
That makes sense, huh? The American church in America, where else would it be?
Ja, den amerikanske kirken I Amerika, det var godt sagt.
not all the churches certainly.
Ikke alle kirkene selvfølgelig.
But many of the churches.
Men mange kirker.
Are doing absolutely nothing to reach their neighbor in their community.
Gjør ingenting for å faktisk nå naboene sine I nabolaget sitt.
Let alone lost people around the world.
Heller ikke med fortapte mennesker rundt om I verden.
And if they are sending missionaries.
Og hvis de sender misjonærer.
Those trips look more like vacations or holidays.
Så ser de turene ofte ut som ferier.
Than the work of the gospel.
Enn I stedet for at det en reise som fremmer evangeliet.
Okay, caring for persecuted and struggling Christians.
Okay, neste punkt da å ta hånd om eller ha omsorg for kristne som blir forfulgt.
We're going to go to a passage that maybe you might not expect.
Vi skal gå til en bibeltekst som dere kanskje ikke venter.
It's in Matthew chapter 25.
Vi skal til Matteus 25. Ah, oh, I know.
Verses 31 to 46.
One of my favorites.
This passage.
Ja, Matteus 25 vers 31 til 46.
This passage is misunderstood and misused by many Christians.
Denne passasjen her misforstått og misbrukt av mange kristne.
Many churches and many Christians use this passage.
Mange kristne og mange mennesker bruker denne teksten
as a mandate for serving lost people.
Bruker den teksten som et mandat for å faktisk tjene ikke-kristne.
We should serve lost people.
Men vi skal tjene ikke-kristne.
In plenty of places the Bible tells us to do that.
Og I mange steder I Bibelen så sier Bibelen at vi skal gjøre det.
But this is not one of them.
Men dette ikke en av dem.
Okay. Beginning in verse 31.
Vers 31.
When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick, and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry, or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, truly I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. This is an extraordinary, frightening, and very important passage of Scripture to the life and health of the church. What we see here is a description of true and false conversion. Jesus is not telling Christians that if they don't care for unsaved people, they're going to hell.
Jesus sier ikke at hvis de ikke bryr seg om ikke-kristne, så havner de i helvete.
The people being described here who need the help,
men menneskene her som blir beskrevet som trenger hjelp,
are Christians.
Er kristne.
Two words show us that.
To ord viser oss det.
Look at verse 40 again.
Se vers 40.
40.
Ja, se på vers 40.
And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me. Who can be a brother of Jesus Christ? Not an unsaved person. A saved person. Only the Christian is a brother or sister of Jesus Christ.
Bare en kristen en bror av Jesus Kristus.
Only a Christian is a co-heir with Christ.
Bare en kristen en arving sammen med Kristus.
Only a Christian is adopted into the family of God.
Bare en kristen tatt inn I Guds familie.
And made a brother or sister with Christ.
Og blir da en bror eller søster av Kristus.
It is the Christian who is hungry. It is the Christian who is thirsty. It is the stranger who needs to be welcomed. Or the Christian who's the stranger, I'm sorry. It's the Christian who's so poor he has no clothing. It's the Christian who is sick. It's the Christian who's being imprisoned for his faith. And why is the judgment so harsh?
Og hvorfor dommen så hard?
1 John 3:15 says,
1. Johannes 3:15 sier,
whoever hates his brother,
den som hater sin bror,
is a murderer.
En drapsmann.
And the word of God tells us in Revelation 21:8,
og Guds ord sier I Åpenbaringen 21:8,
that all murderers will have their part in the lake of fire.
At alle mordere vil ha være I ildsjøen.
And how much more hateful could you be?
Og hvor mye full av hat kan du være?
Than to not care for your brothers and sisters in Christ.
Og ikke ta hånd om og bry seg om dine brødre og søstre I Kristus.
When they are in need.
Når de I nød.
We are to love our brothers and sisters
vi skal elske våre søsken I Kristus,
the way Jesus loves us.
Slik som Jesus elsker oss.
And if there's someone claiming to be a Christian,
og hvis det noen som sier at de kristne,
and they're not caring for their brothers and sisters in Christ,
og de ikke bryr seg om sine kristne I Kristus,
then the likelihood is they're not saved.
Så de mest sannsynlig ikke frelst.
They're probably a false convert.
De mest sannsynlig falske kristne.
Because the false convert in the church,
for den falske kristne I menigheten,
wouldn't even recognize the need of their brother or sister.
Vil ikke engang gjenkjenne behovet til en kristen.
Because they don't have any brothers or sisters in the church.
Fordi de har ingen søsken I kirken.
They're just religious and pretending.
De bare religiøse og bare går, bare I menigheten for.
This passage is also very significant.
Denne passasjen også veldig viktig.
And it makes it clear that hell is real.
Den også veldig klar på helvete virkelig.
Jesus says here that the righteous will enter into his eternal presence.
Jesus sier her at de rettferdige, altså de kristne, vil komme rett inn I hans nærvær og hans rike.
Yet the unrighteous will enter into eternal punishment.
Mens de ikke-kristne, de vil gå rett inn I evig pine.
In both cases, the word eternal is used.
I begge, både I forhold til himmel og til fortapelse, så ordet evig brukt.
It's the same Greek word with the same Greek meaning.
Det samme greske ordet med den samme greske betydningen.
Therefore, just as heaven is eternal,
akkurat som at himmelen da evig,
hell and punishment is eternal as well.
Så helvete og straffen der også evig.
And there are many weak churches today,
og det mange svake kirker I dag,
that will teach about the eternity of heaven,
som vil undervise om evigheten I himmelen,
but would go as far as to deny eternity in hell.
Men noen går faktisk så langt som å fornekte evigheten
I, or even hell's existence.
Eller også faktisk fornekte at det helvete.
So back to the point at hand.
Tilbake til hovedpoenget.
A biblical church,
en bibelsk kirke,
will care for one another's needs,
vil ta vare på hverandres behov,
but will also seek to care for those Christians who are hurting and in need around the world.
Men vil også prøve å ta hånd om og bidra og hjelpe til med kristne som lider andre steder I verden.
To the extent that they are able.
Så langt de lar seg gjøre.
In fact, on one of Paul's journeys back to Jerusalem,
en av Paulus reiser tilbake til Jerusalem,
and it might have been the Philippian church, correct me if I'm wrong,
det kan ha vært Filippi-menigheten,
but they took back to Jerusalem money that was gathered by the Philippian church because the church in Jerusalem was suffering because of a great famine.
Ja, de tok penger tilbake fra Filippi-menigheten fordi at menigheten I Jerusalem hadde problemer.
Yeah. So a good church, a biblical church, is one that seeks to meet the needs of struggling Christians at home.
Ja, så en bibelsk menighet noen som tar vare på og bidrar til kristne som har det tøft hjemme.
And struggling Christians abroad.
Og også kristne som har det tøft andre steder.
All right, hey, I think we're going to make it.
Okay, after we start, come in on.
The next one is boldness.
Den neste mot.
A biblical characteristic of a true church is boldness.
En bibelsk karakteristikk på en menighet mot.
We're going to read, how much will we read? We're going to read Acts 4, 1 to 31. That'll be the whole chapter.
Okay, vi skal lese
all of chapter 4.
Hele kapittel 4 I Apostlenes gjerninger.
And then we're going to read chapter 5, verses 17 to 42.
Og så skal vi lese kapittel 5, vers 17 til 42.
Here we see not only the boldness of the apostles,
her ser vi ikke bare motet av apostlene,
but the boldness of the church at large.
Men vi ser også motet her til menigheten.
Beginning in chapter 4, verse 1. And as they were speaking to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, greatly annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they arrested them. By the way, they were open-air preaching when they were doing this.
Yeah. But open-air preaching when they were doing this.
Verse 3. And they arrested them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who had heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to about 5,000. On the next day, their rulers and elders and scribes gathered together in Jerusalem, with Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander, and all who were of the high priestly family. When they had set them in the midst, they inquired, "By what power or by what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that, our words there, boldness. Mm-hmm. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were uneducated common men, they were astonished. And they recognized that they had been with Jesus. But seeing the man who was healed standing beside them, they had nothing to say in opposition. But when they had commanded them to leave the council, they conferred with one another, saying, "What shall we do with these men? For that a notable sign has been performed through them is evident to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But in order that it may not spread, it may spread no further among the people, let us warn them to speak no more to anyone in his name." So they called them and charged them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered them, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. For we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard." And when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way to punish them because of the people, for all were praising God for what had happened. For the man on whom this sign of healing was performed was more than 40 years old. When they were released, they went to their friends, this would be the church, and reported what the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they heard it, they lifted their voices together to God and said, "Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them, who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, 'When did the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. For truly in this country there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness, while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus." And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. We'll pause there for a second.
Somebody can touch that.
Something the church lacks in America, and I, based on what I've seen and heard here in Norway.
Noe som menighetene og kirken mangler i USA, og også ut fra det jeg har hørt her i Norge.
Is boldness.
Mot.
Is courage. And courage.
Ja, mot.
Oh, it's the same word?
Yeah, I can't really.
Oh, interesting.
Boldness and humility.
It står igjen som hvis du leser direkte øvelse.
Yeah. No, it's not the same.
Okay.
Yeah, humility.
Oh, but
mot. Yeah.
Okay. The body of Christ exists to exalt the name of Christ.
Guds menighet eksisterer for å løfte opp Jesu navn.
It exists to exalt and bring glory to Christ through worship and service to Him.
Den eksisterer for å gi Jesus ære gjennom tilbedelse og fellesskap med ham.
And Christ is no more exalted than when His gospel is preached.
Og aldri blir Jesus så mye ære som når evangeliet og hans ord blir forkynt.
And too many Christians and too many churches
for mange kristne, for mange menigheter,
are so afraid of people
for mennesker,
that they refuse to speak the truth in love.
at de nekter å snakke sannheten I kjærlighet.
They are more concerned about what people think about them.
De mer bekymret på hva mennesker sier om dem.
Than where people will go when they die.
Enn hvor faktisk mennesker havner når de dør.
And especially in countries like ours.
Og spesielt I land som våres.
Where we have so much.
Når vi har så mye.
And therefore think we have so much to lose.
Og derfor tror vi at vi har så mye å tape.
That we are even less likely to risk anything to share the gospel.
At vi derfor ikke tør å risikere noe for å forkynne evangeliet.
And so your country and mine.
Så våres land.
Are being overrun by every religion of the age.
Blir overkjørt ofte av mange religioner.
And some churches are even cooperating with these other religions.
Mange menigheter I dag samarbeider faktisk med disse andre religionene.
By giving them legitimacy.
Ved å gi dem legitimitet.
By partnering with them in spiritual works.
Ved å samarbeide med dem og være partner med dem I åndelige ting.
There is only one God.
Det bare en Gud.
The God of Islam.
Islams Gud.
Is either a delusion or a devil.
Enten bare en illusion eller så en djevelens hørn.
The God of the Jehovah's Witnesses is either a delusion or a devil.
Jehovas vitners Gud enten illusion eller så djevelens hørn.
The God of the Mormons is either a delusion or a devil.
Guden til mormonerne enten en illusion eller så djevelens hørn.
And I would go as far as to say the God of the Roman Catholic Church is either a delusion or a devil.
Jeg vil gå også så langt som å si at den katolske kirkens Gud enten en illusion eller djevelens hørn.
Because they worship Mary more than they worship Jesus.
For de tilber Maria mer enn de tilber Jesus.
And the Jesus they worship.
Og den Jesus som de tilber.
Is not the victorious Jesus of the Word of God.
Ikke den seirende Jesus ut fra Guds ord.
For they practice a blasphemous ritual.
For de praktiserer et blasfemisk ritual.
Known as the Mass.
Som heter Messe.
Where Jesus is required to suffer.
Der Jesus må lide.
Yet again.
Enda en gang.
By taking by the bread becoming his body.
Da brødsbrytelsen blir hans kropp.
And by the wine becoming his blood.
Og vinen blir hans blod.
And believing that Jesus must suffer every time the Mass is performed.
Og de tror da at Jesus må lide hver gang dette blir gjort.
So that sins could be covered.
Sånn at synder kan bli tilgitt.
But Jesus said on the cross, it is finished.
Men Jesus sa på korset, det fullbrakt.
Jesus never suffered again.
Jesus led aldri igjen.
When he finished his work on the cross,
når han avslutta sitt arbeid på korset,
his suffering was over.
Så var lidelsen over.
He fulfilled the requirements of God the Father.
Han fullførte oppdraget fra Gud Fader.
He was the perfect fulfillment of the law.
Han var den perfekte fullbyrdelse.
And the requirements of the law.
Fullbyrdelse av loven og lovens krav.
And he forever defeated sin and death when he rose from the grave.
Og han beseiret døden for alltid da han reiste seg opp fra graven.
He was the suffering servant while he was here. On earth.
Han var den lidende tjenere mens han var her på jord.
But he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
Men han kongenes konge og herrenes herre nå.
He suffers for no one.
Han lider ikke for noen.
He is king over everyone.
Han konge over alle.
And to presume to make Jesus suffer in a ritual.
Og anta at Jesus nå lider I et ritual.
Is to blaspheme his very name.
Det å blasfemi for Jesu navn.
And the church should be so angry about the way Jesus is blasphemed by these other religions.
Og kristne burde være så opprørt over hvordan Jesus over den blasfemien som de gir Jesus.
That they should be preaching the gospel louder.
At de burde forkynne evangeliet bare enda høyere.
Than these false religions preach lies.
Enn disse falske religionene forkynner disse lies.
And they should love the people so much of these other religions.
Og vi burde elske mennesker I disse andre religionene så høyt.
That we should be willing to lay down our very lives.
At så at vi villige til å legge ned livet vårt.
To see them come to repentance and faith and receive life.
For å se at de kommer til omvendelse og blir frelst.
Those are hard words.
Det harde ord.
But we either believe this book.
Enten så tror vi på denne boka.
Or we don't.
Eller så gjør vi det ikke.
Jesus is either King of Kings and Lord of Lords, or he's not.
Enten så Jesus kongens konge og herrenes herre, eller så han ikke.
He is the only true God, or he's not.
Enten så han den eneste sanne guden, eller så han ikke.
So decide this day whom you will serve.
Så bestem I dag hvem du vil tjene.
You or God.
Deg eller Gud.
one of the reasons why the church is so very weak.
En av grunnene I dag for at kirken mange steder svak.
Is because she will not open her mouth and herald the gospel to lost people.
Fordi at kirken ikke proklamerer evangeliet til de fortapte.
The church has a very strong will to live in the world.
Kirken har en veldig sterk vilje for å leve I verden.
But very little will to die for Christ.
Men veldig liten vilje til å dø for Kristus.
Even though he died for the church.
Selv om han døde for kirken.
If this small body of believers
Hvis denne lille forsamlingen her og troende
is going to be a true church of Christ,
skal være en ekte kirke av Kristus,
then they must be bold in their proclamation of the gospel.
Så må vi være frimodige I proklameringen av evangeliet.
To fulfill the two greatest commandments.
For å gjennomføre og fullføre de to viktigste kommandoene.
To love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength.
To elske Gud av hele vårt hjerte og hele vår sjel.
And to love our neighbor as ourselves.
Og elske vår neste som oss selv.
And we can only do that because we are filled with the love of Christ.
Og det kan vi kun gjøre når vi fylt av Guds kjærlighet og kjærlighet til ham.
And empowered by His Holy Spirit.
Og fylt og I kraft av den hellige ånd.
I don't know if we need to go to chapter 5, but we will. Chapter 5, verses 17 to 42.
Vers 17 til 42 I Apostelgjerningene 5.
But the high priest rose up, and all who were with them, that is, the party of the Sadducees, and filled with jealousy, they arrested the apostles and put them in public prison. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, Go and stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life. Mm. Now listen. Listen to what happened. See what happened here.
Se hva som skjer her.
These men suffered for the name of Christ.
Disse mennene her, de led for Kristi navn.
They were imprisoned for their refusal to not close their mouth.
De ble satt I fengsel for at de nektet å tie stille om Jesus.
An angel of the Lord comes and releases them.
En engel kommer og frigjør dem.
And tells them to go back and do it again.
Englen fra himmelen kommer og løslater dem og ber dem gjøre akkurat det samme til nytt.
He didn't tell them to run and hide.
Han ba dem ikke om å gjemme seg.
He didn't tell them to lick their wounds.
Han ba dem ikke slikke sårene sine.
Go and be willing to die.
Bare gå ut og vær villig til å dø.
And when they heard this, the apostles,
yes.
What did they do? They entered the temple at daybreak and began to teach.
Og det de gjorde da de hørte dette, da vers 21, da de hadde hørt dette, gikk de av da, I daglig til tempelet og lærte.
Now when the high priest came and those who were with him, they called together the council and all the senate of the people of Israel and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came, they did not find them in the prison. So they returned and reported, We found the prison securely locked and the guards standing at the doors. But when we opened them, we found no one inside. Now when the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these words, they were greatly perplexed about them, wondering what this would come to. And some came and told them, Look, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. The captain with the officers went and brought them, but not by force, for they were afraid of being stoned by the people. And when they had brought them, They sent them before the council, and the high priest questioned them, saying, We strictly charged you not to teach in this name. Yet here you have fulfilled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you intend to bring this man's blood upon us. But Peter and the apostles answered. Now, let's pause there.
You got to stop that.
Did Peter and the apostles apologize? No.
Ba Paulus og Peter om unnskyldning? Nei.
Did Peter and the apostles enter into ecumenical meetings to see how we could all get along? No.
Tok Peter og apostlene og innkastet seg møter for å megle, for å finne ut om alle kunne være omgås hverandre?
In cowardice, did they remain quiet? No.
Var de feige og var stille? Nei.
This is what they did.
Dette det de gjorde.
We must obey God rather than men.
Vi må adlyde Gud mer enn mennesker.
The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we were witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey Him. Now let's stop there again for a moment. Not only did they not apologize to these rulers and leaders, Peter pointed a finger at them and said, "You murdered Jesus." That's boldness that can only come through a love, through having received the love of Christ and now deeply being one who loves Christ.
En sån frimodighet kan bare komme ved å virkelig elske Jesus, ved å ha mottatt hans helse og kjærlighet.
Telling your Christian friends how much you love Jesus is not boldness.
Å si til dine kristne venner hvor mye du elsker Jesus, det ikke frimodighet.
Telling lost people who may hate you for saying it, that's boldness.
Men frimodighet å fortelle hvor høyt du elsker Jesus til ikke kristne som faktisk til og med vil hate deg når du sier det.
Being willing to stand up in a classroom and tell a teacher respectfully
å reise seg opp i et klasserom og si til læreren i respekt
that there are no atheists.
At det finnes ingen ateister.
Only sinners who suppress the truth in righteousness. By righteousness.
Ja, bare syndere som undertrykker sannheten.
And Jesus Christ is Lord.
Og Jesus Kristus Herre.
Only a bold person for Christ will stand up to their employer and say, "Yes, I could lose my job, but Jesus is more important to me than that."
Bare en ekte kristen vil ha den frimodigheten at han på jobben vil si at ja, jeg kan godt miste jobben, men for Jesus viktigere.
Only someone who really loves their friend.
Og bare noen som virkelig elsker sin venn.
Will be bold enough to tell them the truth,
vil være frimodig nok til å si sannheten,
even if it costs them their friendship.
Selv om det vil koste dem vennskapet.
None of this is easy.
Og ingen av disse tingene her lette.
And nowhere in the Bible does God promise it will be.
Og det heller ikke noen steder i Bibelen så har Jesus lovt at det skal bli lett.
He just commands us to obey.
Han bare befaler oss til å adlyde.
Verse 33. When they heard this, they were enraged and wanted to kill them. But a Pharisee in the council named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law held in honor by all the people, stood up and gave orders to put them up, the men outside for a little while. And he said to them, "Men of Israel, take care what you are about to do with these men. For before these days, Theudas rose up, claiming to be somebody, and a number of men, about 400, joined him. He was killed, and all who followed him were dispersed and came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean rose up in the days of the census and drew away some of the people after him. He too perished, and all who followed him were scattered. So in the present case, I tell you, keep away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan or this undertaking is of man, it will fail. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them. You might even be found opposing God." So they took his advice. And when they had called in the apostles, they beat them and charged them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Then they left the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. That's boldness.
And that's every moment.
And every biblical church. Every biblical church will be bold. For the glory of Christ. What's up?
No, this is a fantastic passage, important passage, but it's very challenging. You know, I think we just think about our lives and Christianity in general. Are we doing this? You know,
right.
But this is good. Amen. So we need to think about this aspect. Yes.
And the last one.
Oh, this is that.
It could be in some ways, and well, in some ways it is. In some ways, this is probably the most important characteristic of the church. And that is prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Prayer is not all we should do.
Bønn ikke alt vi skal gjøre.
Prayer is no excuse for not doing the other things we talked about. But everything we've talked about should be bathed in prayer.
Alt som vi snakker om skal være badet og forberedt I bønn.
Colossians chapter 4.
Kolossene kapittel 3.
Verses 2 through 4.
Vers 2 til 4.
Continue steadfastly in prayer. Now this is Paul again. These are some of his final instructions to the church at Colossae. Colossians 4, verses 2 to 4.
Sorry, yes. Colossians 4, verse 2 to 4.
And again, this is Paul's letter to the Colossians, and these are some of his final instructions to them. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us, that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak. The church should be continually steadfast in prayer.
Menigheten skal være kontinuerlig I bønn.
A church that does not pray is walking through this world with blinders on.
Går gjennom denne verden med bindbind for øynene.
And effectively unarmed for the battle.
Og helt ueffektiv og ikke bevæpnet I en krig.
So often when we look at, in fact, you know what, I wasn't planning this, but go ahead and turn to Ephesians chapter 6.
Jeg hadde ikke planlagt dette, men la oss gå til Ephesians kapittel 6.
And let's look at the armor of God, beginning in verse 10.
La oss se på Guds fulle rustning, som begynner I kapittel 10.
Finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of spirit, which is the word of God. Now, I wrote a book on this passage.
Jeg har skrevet faktisk en bok om denne passasjen.
And I've read many books on this passage.
Og jeg har lest mange bøker om denne teksten.
In listing the armor of God.
Der man går gjennom de forskjellige tingene.
And often, this is where the books stop.
Og ofte så det her bøkene stopper.
Including my own.
Inklusiv min egen.
There's still a piece of armor missing.
Det fortsatt en viktig del av rustningen igjen.
And that is in verse 18.
Og det I vers 18.
Praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. The interesting thing about this armor. Virtually every part of the soldier's body is covered.
Alle deler av soldatens kropp så å si dekt.
But for one.
Utenom en del.
The soldier's back.
Og det ryggen til soldaten.
There is a shield that he'll hold in front of him.
Han har skjoldet som holder foran seg.
Sword he'll hold in front of him.
Sverd holder han foran seg.
Breastplate that he'll wear in front of him.
Brynja foran.
But he has no protection on his back.
Han har ingen beskyttelse bak.
The reason is this.
Grunnen denne.
No Roman soldier was ever to turn their back on the enemy.
En romersk soldat ville aldri snu ryggen til fienden.
Not only is it cowardice. Not only is it cowardice or cowardly.
Ikke bare det feigt.
But it exposes you to to the onslaught of the enemy.
Men det gjør deg sårbar for fienden.
And if a Roman soldier did turn his back in battle,
og hvis en romersk soldat snudde ryggen til krig,
he was killed by a soldier near him.
Så ble han drept.
One of his own soldiers.
Så ble han drept faktisk en av sine egne.
You never turned your back in the Roman army.
Du snudde aldri ryggen til den romerske hæren.
Prayer covers all of us, every part of us,
bønn dekker alle deler av kroppen vår,
including our back,
til også ryggen vår,
when we are weak,
når vi svake,
when we are beaten down,
når vi nedslått,
when we feel as though we have to turn away from the battle,
når vi føler som at vi må trekke oss ut av kampen.
Prayer is what emboldens us to stay in the fight.
Bønn også det som gir oss modighet og mot å stå i kampen.
Prayer is what enables us to do all things through Christ who strengthens us.
Den bønn det som gjør at vi orker gjøre alt i ham som gir oss styrke.
Prayer is what enables us to stand firm in front of the religious leaders of the day and say, no, I will proclaim Christ.
Bønn det som gir oss styrke i dag til å stå foran andre religiøse ledere og andre religioner til å si i dag at jeg tror på Jesus.
Prayer is what enables the Christian to rejoice when suffering.
Bønn det som gjør en kristen faktisk kan glede seg når man lider.
To rejoice when counted worthy to be maligned or beaten or even killed for the name of Christ.
Det gir til og med glede når man blir funnet verdig til å lide for Kristus.
Prayer keeps us from drawing our strength from ourselves.
Bønn gjør sånn at vi slipper å ta krefter fra oss selv.
Prayer keeps us from arrogantly and foolishly relying on our own strength.
Bønn gjør at vi setter og liksom legger vår lit til våre egne krefter.
Prayer keeps our service to Christ from turning into service for ourselves.
Bønn gjør at vi at vår tjeneste ikke handler om oss selv, men at vår tjeneste handler om Jesus.
Prayer gives us direct communication with our Father.
Bønn gir oss direkte kommunikasjon med vår far,
with our Savior,
med vår frelse,
and with our helper, the Holy Spirit,
og med vår hjelper, den hellige ånd.
And God wants us to communicate with Him.
Gud vil at vi skal kommunisere med Ham.
And how much can we say that we love someone we never talk to?
Og hvor mye kan vi si at vi elsker en som vi ikke snakker med?
Right. I mean, we have a lovely young couple here. That would be you. How long have you been married?
3 years.
3 years. Okay. What kind of marriage would they have if they have never spoken to each other since they said I do? Probably wouldn't have a marriage at all.
I just said wedding instead of marriage.
Oh.
Yeah, but I think people got the point.
Prayer. I think it was. I'm not sure it was Leonard Ravenhill or someone else. Who said you could tell how healthy and how true a church is?
You can see how frisk or sund en menighet er.
By the size of their prayer meeting.
Ja, på når du ser størrelsen på bønnemøtet før møtene.
Yeah, if you have 400 young people willing to come out and sing songs and play foosball and have a good time.
Du har kanskje 400 ungdommer som villige til som vil spille fotball og hoppe til høy musikk.
But you have two kids who are committed to prayer.
Men det kun to av dem som ber.
That youth outing meant absolutely nothing to God.
So
that youth meeting, the jumping up and down, the singing, the playing games, that means nothing to God.
Then hopping off on the air, football, spinning, I'm seeing anything for you.
There's no power.
Ingen kraft.
There's no love.
Ingen kjærlighet.
There's no growth.
Ingen vekst.
The church is, for all intents and purposes, dead.
Mer eller mindre da, så kirken død.
And the same is true with any other church. If a church doesn't spend time with their God, how can they presume to know the will of God? They can't. So if a church is claiming to be greatly moved by the Holy Spirit.
Så hvis en menighet mener at de virkelig ledet av den hellige ånd,
and doing great works for God,
og gjør store gjerninger for Gud,
but yet spends no time praying to the Lord,
men ikke bruker tid til å be til Gud,
then all it is a work of man.
Da det bare en menneskeskap.
Dressed up to look religious.
Som påkledd og virker religiøst.
So prayer is vitally important.
Så bønn ekstremt viktig.
Turn to First Thessalonians.
Bra til første Thessaloniker brev.
Chapter 5.
Kapittel 5.
16-25.
Og vers 16-25.
Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. Bless you. And may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. A healthy church is one that is praying all the time. Doesn't mean we're locked in a room praying 24 hours a day, 7 days a week together. But that we always have an attitude of prayer. And a good way to practice that is this. How often do we receive a prayer request from somebody, whether in person or on the phone or an email?
Hvor ofte får vi en bønnespørsmål av en venn, eller via telefon eller via e-mail?
And we are quick to tell the person we will pray for them.
Og så sier vi veldig raskt at ja, jeg skal huske på å be for deg.
And we go on with our day and we get busy.
Og så fortsetter vi med dagen vår.
And we forget.
Og så glemmer vi det.
The best way to fix that.
Den beste måten å fikse det på,
is to pray the moment you receive the request.
Å be umiddelbart med en gang du får spørsmålet.
Even if it is in person.
Selv om det face to face.
Even if the person is saying that they're in a hurry.
Selv om de sier at de har det travelt.
You tell them that you have time to pray.
Så sier du at du har tid til å be.
And you take a few moments right then and there, and you ask God to meet that need.
Og så tar du en stund akkurat der og da, og så ber du Gud om å møte det behovet.
If someone sends you an email with a prayer request,
hvis noen sender deg en e-mail med bønnesemne,
you pray right then and there.
Så ber du med en gang du ser den mailen.
And you don't email them back saying, I will pray for you.
Du mailer ikke tilbake og sier at jeg skal be for deg.
You email them back and you say, I just prayed for you.
Du mailer tilbake og sier at jeg har akkurat best for deg.
Somebody calls you on the phone with a prayer request.
Hvis noen ringer på telefonen og har bønnemne,
you pray for them on the phone.
Be for dem på telefonen.
And if you establish this habit early in the church,
og hvis du etablerer en sånn vane tidlig i menigheten,
you'll find that your church will be praying much more often.
Så vil du se at menigheten vil be oftere.
And I think it would be easier to gather the church for prayer.
Og jeg tror det vil være da lettere å samle menigheten i bønn.
If the people in the church are praying as a way of life.
Hvis menigheten har en livsstil som i bønn.
So those are the nine marks of a biblical church.
Så det da altså de ni punktene for en bibelsk kirke.
There are many more.
Det mange flere.
But I would have to stay another week to go through all of those.
Jeg må holde på en uke til for å gå igjennom.
Or maybe more.
Could you
yes.
take now two sentences or three sentences for each of those nine?
Okay.
To sum it up.
Sure.
Ja, så tar vi en oppsummering av de ni forskjellige punktene.
The nine characteristics for a biblical church.
Ja, de ni karakteristikkene for en bibelsk kirke her.
Number one is mission.
Det ene oppdraget.
The mission of the church is to further the gospel of Jesus Christ and to build Christ's church.
Oppdraget til menigheten å forkynne evangeliet og gi evangeliet videre og bygge menigheten.
Number two is leadership.
Nummer to kirkens lederskap.
Men have been ordained by God to lead the church.
Menn har blitt ordinert av kirken til å lede menigheten.
Only men are to serve as pastors and elders.
Kun menn skal være eldste eller pastor.
Deacons are a necessary office in the church. Men and women can serve as deacons.
Både menn og kvinner kan være diakoner.
And the body of Christ should be submissive to the leadership of their church.
Og menigheten skal være underordnet menighetens lederskap.
The elders are responsible for the spiritual care and the teaching of the church.
De eldsterådet er ansvarlig for forkynnelsen av ordet og læren I kirken.
And the deacons are charged with the physical care and administration of the church.
Og diakonene har ansvaret for administrasjonen og de fysiske behovene til menigheten.
The third is body life.
Det siste det tredje menighetens liv.
The church should have all things in common.
Menigheten bør ha alt felles.
There should be unity among the people of the church.
Det må være enhet I menigheten.
There should be a real desire for the people of the church to spend not just a day together, but their lives together.
Det burde være en sånn holdning I menigheten at de ikke skal bare tilbringe en dag sammen, men at skal leve liv sammen.
And that fellowship
og det fellesskapet
should consist of hearing the teaching of the elders.
Ja, det fellesskapet så skal det høres ord av de eldste.
The breaking of bread.
Brødsbrytelsen, nattverden.
Prayer, and I'm missing one. Which one am I missing? Having all things in common.
People, the Matthew 25 section. The poor and the
that's later on.
Okay.
And the two things that will kill the fellowship of the church.
Og de to tingene som vil ta livet av menigheten.
Although there are more.
Som det flere.
The two most common are.
De to mest vanlige
selfishness and gossip.
Egoisme og baktalelse.
Discipline is number four.
Disiplin punkt nummer fire.
A biblical church is one that practices church discipline.
En bibelsk menighet praktiserer menighetstukt eller menighetsdisiplin.
Holding Christians accountable for living a godly life.
Holder hverandre ansvarlig for å leve et guddommelig liv.
And lovingly disciplining them when they don't.
Og disiplinerer hverandre og konfronterer hverandre I kjærlighet når man ikke gjør dette.
With the goal always being.
Det er målet alltid.
For that wayward brother or sister.
For den broren eller søsteren.
To be reconciled to Christ.
Bli gjenforent med Kristus.
And to be returned to healthy fellowship with their brothers and sisters.
Og bli gjenforent med tilbake I menigheten.
Number five is supporting missionaries.
Punkt nummer fem bidra for misjonærer.
A biblical church supports the work of the gospel around the world.
En bibelsk menighet hjelper til å bidra med at evangeliet skal komme ut rundt I hele verden.
Number six is sending missionaries.
Punkt nummer seks å sende misjonærer.
A biblical church is one that sends its people into the world to proclaim the gospel.
En bibelsk menighet noen som sender mennesker både inn og utland for å proklamere evangeliet slik at mennesker skal bli frelst.
Number seven is caring for persecuted and struggling Christians.
Nummer sju å ta hånd om og vise omsorg for forfulgte kristne.
A true sign of true or false conversion.
Et ekte tegn på enten ekte eller falsk omvendelse.
Is whether or not we meet the needs of our brothers and sisters in Christ.
Om vi enten vi bidrar og hjelper de kristne søskene eller ikke.
Regardless of the circumstances.
Uansett omstendigheter.
Number eight is boldness.
Nummer åtte frimodighet.
A biblical church will stand for Christ.
En bibelsk menighet vil stå for Jesus.
The people will be willing to deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow Christ.
Menighetens medlemmer vil fornekte seg selv, ta opp sitt kors og følge Jesus.
Willing to sacrifice all.
Vil du ofre alt?
For Jesus sacrificed for all His church.
For Jesus og for alle for sin menighet.
And then number nine again is prayer.
Og til slutt det niende punktet en bønn.
Any biblical church will be a praying church.
Hver eneste bedende bibelske menighet vil være en menighet som ber.
An army that has communications cut off from its commanding general.
En hær som har kommunikasjonen kuttet av fra generalen.
Is destined to lose the battle and be destroyed.
Vil tape krigen og bli ødelagt.
And so will a church that does not pray.
Og så vil også være en menighet som ikke ber. Amen.
Questions?
How is your wife going to take it when we tell her you have to stand of the week?
Next question.